Hello and welcome to the LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Matt Dumont, an LSAT teacher and tutor at the LSAT Demon and a 2L at the University of Maryland. With me in person is Rebecca Cumberbatch, who is also a Demon teacher, also a 2L at the University of Maryland, and my current study buddy for criminal procedure.
We're both getting an A.
Fingers crossed.
We're going to work very hard.
How are you doing, Becca?
I'm living the dream.
Living the dream.
Overjoyed. We just left criminal procedure, just so everybody knows. And after this, I'm teaching meaty reedy.
Yes.
So how could it get any better?
Yeah, law school dreams.
Amen.
So to dive in, we got a bunch of emails because it's that time of year about negotiation. So I'm going to read through a bunch of stuff just to get the listeners up. So we have, hey, Demon Daily. This one's pretty specific. It says, I want to negotiate a larger scholarship at the University of Missouri. I'm at the 75th in LSAT and above it in GPA. If I'm reading the 509 correctly, I should be awarded around $22,000. I was offered a waiver for non-resident fees in the first year, then $19,000 annual, about an 80% discount. I was also offered a full ride at Michigan State University, and I'm wondering if mentioning this would help my case. Mizzou is currently ranked 60th, and MSU is ranked 91st. I could maybe mention that Penn State offered me 27.5 annual, ranked 60. Wayne State offered me 25,000 annual, ranked 72. Brooklyn Law offered 34,000 annual, or University of New Hampshire offered 42,000 annual, ranked 88. Each of these schools charges much more, so the discount is comparatively less. Thank you, A. Now, the reason I started off with that one is because it's pretty specific compared to these other ones, which are more general. So I thought we could think about this specific one through these more general questions, which were, hey, is there, so this is a different email that says, hey, is there a right time to ask law schools if they can offer more? Should I wait until I've heard from other schools in order to properly negotiate? They're eager to ask for more money, but because currently, you know, people are getting distributions and those kind of things. However, they want to have leverage like this other listener has with offers from other schools. So besides scholarship offers from competing schools, what other points of data would you bring to negotiation? Thinking like cost of living comparisons, median starting salaries. Is it offensive to do those kind of things? And how likely is a bump in scholarships? So that was from F. Then email
number three.
Email number three.
That's a
it says, trick. What is the best way to go about negotiating more scholarship funds? Should it be done over email, Zoom, or phone? What should I say? What should I be, who should I be talking to? Should I physically send over other scholarships I have received? And so I think those second two really kind of compare, but we could talk about those more broader points. For instance, that F and J brought up, as it relates to A. So
right.
Hearing all that, what do you think?
Well, since you're here in person, you already know I did this, but I took, I took the information they gave us in the first email. Thank you, A. I looked up Mizzou's 509 and if they're at the 75th for LSAT, at it for the LSAT, that's 161 and above it for GPA, puts them at like a 3.9. So I put that into our scholarship estimator at LSATdemon.com.
So LSATdemon.com/scholarships is where you can go check that out. And
exactly.
It has all the 509s ranked by the school's rankings. And so you can put in your data and see what the scholarship estimator says.
And the reason I wanted to do that was because when they were saying, oh, I should be getting X dollars from this school, I was like, I don't like that attitude. I don't want you to be like, if they give me X dollars, then I'll know they gave me a fair amount. You need to go to law school for free.
Yes.
That is the end of the story.
Yep. As so, two people who are currently doing that, I would strongly recommend getting on that train.
It's really nice. And when I do that, I'm seeing a lot of full tuition and more than full tuition. And there's always your random that why I like this is because it puts things in perspective of like, wow, I'm seeing full tuition at number 47, Arizona. I'm seeing more than half a lot of places, but I'm really not paying attention until I see a full or more than full.
Yep.
I see more than full at UC Hastings. Nathan would love for you to go there. No, he would not.
Dean Fagan.
Be like this.
Yes.
And then like, for instance, at University of Missouri, which we were talking about Mizzou, the scholarship estimator actually says more than full. And so I think starting there and getting a little bit level-headed helps you to see how much should I be expecting out of this school, because they are not going to come to you with their best offer unless you are just like so far blowing it out of the water.
Yeah. Right?
So of course, Matt and I are here not only to share our general knowledge, but our personal experiences. And I will say, when I applied to George Mason and Maryland, both schools offered me full tuition right off the bat, and I didn't negotiate at all because I was like 15 points above their 75th right. for LSAT, you right. know, and I had a decent GPA of 3.67. So it's kind of like, unless that, when Maryland was like, oh, hell yeah, get that Rebecca up in here. That's one thing, but you're never going to get at one of these schools where you're at the 75th. You should be expecting full, but they're not going to just like,
they're not going to hand it to you. Yeah. Right. And one of the things that, so I think some of the questions that were asked here were like what you could bring to right. that. And so A was talking about all these competing offers. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of the advice that could go in there is that those competing offers actually have to be competing offers.
Right.
And so the idea of similar rankings may or may not actually matter all that much. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of negotiating. I applied to all these different schools in like the 30s and 40s and 50s mm-hmm. as sort of like my target area because of where my LSAT and GPA were. Mm-hmm. And so, but like, if you think about the University of Wisconsin, and which is in the 30s, it's right. it's typically around like 30, low 30s, 31, 32, 33. And you compare that with something like UC Irvine,
right.
which is also historically been around there or even right. in the high 20s, similar rankings, but they're not competing with each other.
No.
Like those schools have nothing to do with each other, completely right. different job markets, completely different areas of the country.
Right.
And so some of these questions, not only by A, the more specific ones, but the school, what you should bring to the schools, you need to bring schools that are actually competing mm-hmm. for the same students would be right. my argument. So if you want to go to Georgetown, applying to GW
right.
is the competitive school.
Right.
If you want to go to, what is this? This is University of Missouri. You need to be thinking about the other schools that are around there,
yeah.
you know, St. Louis
yeah.
being a University of Washington in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And like that kind of, if you got in at Wash U and right. were like, hey, I could go to this much, much higher ranked school.
Right.
That might be a better thing to, you know, negotiate with rather than a full ride at the University of New Hampshire, which they do not care about at all.
Like they don't even know if New Hampshire really exists.
Yeah, not at
all. I do think one point that they're making that's really good is when they say they're comparing the number amount that they got versus the actual tuition cost.
Right.
What I did was make like a little spreadsheet that showed just the percentage of tuition that was covered. Because at the end of the day, if you have student loans for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, all that becomes kind of nebulous. You need to know who is getting me. Again, we say don't pay for law school.
Right.
And then somebody else mentioned things like cost of living. So if you're going to have to outlay money and pay, for instance, we live in Baltimore,
right.
somewhat high cost of living, not astronomical compared to having to be in New York.
I moved from New York and LA.
Yeah.
Very low cost of living in Baltimore.
I moved from Illinois. We spend $1. So the like, of course, neither of us pays for law school.
Right.
Great. But if you had to pay and you have to live in Brooklyn.
Right.
Or if you had to pay versus living, I don't even know what town Mizzou is in. I know it's not in St. Louis. It's somewhere in Missouri.
Yeah.
I don't know. So if you have to live somewhere in Missouri that I don't even know where it is, you're going to pay a lot less. And
yeah.
you have to consider that because the actual dollar outlay for the what you're going to be responsible for
right.
can be like vastly different based on just rent alone.
Right. right. And so I think a recent podcast actually on the Demon Daily talked about a student. It was a piece of listener mail where a student actually compared the percentage of their scholarship mm-hmm. rather than strict dollar amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so what different people were, so be your own advocate in this instance.
Right.
Instead of saying, hey, this school offered me more, mm-hmm. but if like those schools know, they can look up the 509s just like we can.
Mm-hmm.
If they say, hey, okay, yeah, you got 30,000 from this particular school, but that's only a half tuition scholarship, mm-hmm. but it's more money
right.
than the one you got from University of Missouri. That's not actually a great argument if Missouri gave you more of a percentage. And so the real apples to apples comparison is how much are you paying?
Right.
And a percentage might be a way to do that. Or just a cost of attendance right. is, I think, a better way to do that.
Right.
Because if your percentage is 90% at, you know, a school like USC and right. University of Southern California,
right.
90% of $70,000 might be still a fair chunk of money mm-hmm. compared to $90,000 at podunk school that only charges
right.
20.
Right.
Not that any law school charges 20,000 a year.
They don't do that.
But what if they did, right. that'd be a significant. And so I would say the cost of attendance might actually be a much mm-hmm. better way to negotiate mm-hmm. of being like, hey, this school, my cost of attendance is $5,000.
Right.
I would prefer to go to your school. And right now my cost of attendance is 15.
Right.
Can you match or exceed them? Mm-hmm. And that might be a better mm-hmm. way, but the schools have to really compete.
Right. And that would not be something I would try at a school where, obviously, don't mention anything to do with cost of living. If you're talking about a scholarship offer from when you're going to the Wash U, you know,
right.
St. Louis is not a pricey city comparatively. People from St. Louis will say it's expensive, but like, chill out.
No.
And that you don't want to mention that at all, because they'll be like, yeah, we know our cost of living is good. So you want to make sure. The other thing on the 509 that I'm thinking about too, you know, I'm glad you're looking at the 509s, because that's like, you're seeing how the sausage gets made.
Data, right? data.
Exactly. So there are at least 6 people every year getting full tuition at Mizzou, or at last year, I should say. And then 22 people get more than full tuition.
That's the percentages.
Oh my
goodness. It's actually 19 people. 19 people are getting full.
What are you doing?
67 people. So 22% of the class at Mizzou are getting more than full. Now, one of the things that I know about that is that more than full is a little bit with an asterisk next to it, because things like GI benefits, things like sure. yellow ribbon, things like that can go into that number because
right.
you're technically more than full
right.
and the school knows about it.
Right.
And so they report it as such.
Which is,
but that's a huge number. And
wild.
Like one person might be, two people might be military,
sure.
but exactly. the rest of those people are getting paid to go to school
by their peers. Right. They yep. sit in their class. And so that's what I'm saying. Like,
you want to take me to lunch today, or do you want to pay my own scholarship? Right.
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly. But neither of us pays for each other to be here. So
no,
we're real friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, man, you got to look at that 509 and start thinking like, wait. If I am willing to pay X dollars to go to Mizzou, and I know I'm at both of their 75ths
or above, you should be getting more than full.
Yeah. And if they're not, and this is where we'll get into some of the meat and potatoes of actually negotiating. But if you get started with a school and they're not willing to budge and they're not coming up, you needed to apply earlier.
Yeah.
You need to wait till next year.
Yeah.
You know, the tough luck. That's the truth.
So that's, I think, a great transition point of like, hey, you can always reapply next cycle. If mm-hmm. you applied late and you're getting undercut by what you think you should be getting. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I want to point to is I really think you have to be willing to walk away
yes.
from that school in order to effectively negotiate.
Right.
So anecdotally, I negotiated with GW in this way. And now, this will answer some of the other questions that people had of like how to do this, how should mm-hmm. you do this. I did this completely via email. Mm-hmm. I did not speak to anyone
yep.
and I got a significant increase to my scholarship at GW. Mm-hmm. I still walked away because it wasn't significant enough.
Mm-hmm.
GW is in a similar neighborhood, but it's a much higher ranked school than some
right.
of the other schools that I got into and
right.
got full rides to.
Right.
Maryland is 50th. GW was 22nd at the time.
Right.
University of Richmond is another competitor in the neighborhood that I got a full ride to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought those offers. I sent my acceptance letters with full ride offers
mm-hmm.
to the admissions officers, along with Washington and Lee and like
right.
these sort of competitive schools. I sent those to the admission officer that I was in contact with and said, hey, finances are really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the single biggest determinant
yeah.
other than I want to practice in the DC area, but there's plenty
yes.
of schools there.
Right.
So go where you want to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, can you get me to full?
Right.
And at GW,
mm-hmm.
their policy is full is only for people who do binding early decision. Otherwise, the highest that they go is $50,000 a year. Their tuition is like $65,000. And I was like, no way.
$15,000.
$15,000. No way. And
right.
so I said, to the admissions officer, I said that I cannot go here for anything less than full.
Right.
And that was like sort of my final offer. They came back to me with a $7,000 a year increase that bumped me up to their sort of highest that they offer, but that was enough, wasn't enough. And so I was willing to walk away. Mm-hmm. That put me in a stronger bargaining position because I'm willing to walk away, even though I, in theory, wanted to go to GW.
Right. Yeah.
But that allowed me to be like, hey, it's all or nothing for me. Finances are the thing.
Right.
Here's my offers. I'm going to take one of them if you don't match it. And they have to know that if they're going to really budge.
Right.
Some of my friends that also were going to GW and are now there weren't willing to give up on the dream of GW.
Right.
And so they didn't get an increase because they didn't negotiate as forcefully.
And when you actually have full ride offers from other places, that's part, you have full ride offers from real competitor schools.
Real competitor
people
schools.
Really, really, not just you. Lots of people don't go to GW and go somewhere else in the DC, Baltimore metro area, Virginia, the DMV, as we
Like to what's the Antonin and Scalia School of Law, George Mason. Didn't even apply.
I did. I felt a little weird.
Couldn't
I did
do that.
It. But yeah, I mean, you know,
politics aside, couldn't do that.
God bless America. But point being is they, and that's what's hard. Like, okay, it's really easy for us out here where there's this massive conglomeration of law schools all around. I mean, even New York, Philly, you've got
there's so many law schools on the East Coast.
Right. But then, okay, so I'm thinking about somebody back in the Midwest. I definitely think people don't go to Mizzou because they go to the University of Illinois. They don't go to Mizzou because they go to Washington.
Wayne State.
Yeah, to Wayne State. They go to UW. I mean, WashU. They go to Madison. They go wherever.
So how far away do you think a competitive school zone is going to be? So national schools, like if you're up for, you know, a school like Duke, that clearly is competition to your local regional school.
Stanford.
Everybody knows Duke.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
But how, like other regional schools, how far away do you think is competitive for a negotiating standpoint?
I think you really are looking at how many other schools that are in the same general ranking are in that geographical area, because by the time you've passed 6, 7, 8 law schools, you know, then you're kind of far. But let's say you're in the middle. I mean, I'm just thinking the Midwest, right? If you are in Champaign, Illinois, and you want to go to the University of Illinois, but you say, I might go to Madison instead, I might go to Wisconsin.
Right. I think Wisconsin. Yeah. Wisconsin. So, so maybe the best other regional school, like a state or two over would probably be still competitive or, you know, somewhere in that range. If you're going, if you're trying to go to the second best school in the state, clearly everything in the state that's better or slightly worse is going to be competitive. But regionally, maybe a state around you, depending on how thin your state is, Indiana, you could go all the way, maybe even to Eastern Pennsylvania.
Right.
But you really like have to think within a day's drive. How about a reasonable day's drive?
For us Midwesterners is a long time. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's important because you don't want to be coming in, which was kind of the situation I was in. My husband and I did not know where he was going to get a job. And so I applied to UT. I applied to, literally everywhere. Vandy, WashU, GW, of course, eventually Maryland and so on. But like, I applied over the entire country.
Yeah.
And so when I say, hey, I got a full ride at UT, it's like, that's nice. Are you going to Texas? You're
right.
not. You're not going to Texas.
Right.
Right. And I didn't go to Texas. I couldn't go to Texas.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't mind. I'm glad I'm here now.
So I think to like anecdotally put this in, when I was negotiating with places like UCLA, I provided scholarship information from UC Irvine, Pepperdine, Loyola. I didn't get in at USC, which is weird.
Their loss.
I got a lot of money from UCLA, but got outright denied from USC, which is a reason why you should apply broadly.
Oh my goodness.
Not only for negotiation, but other reasons.
So true.
I applied with those kind of things, those schools that were direct regional threats, quote unquote, to UCLA and me going elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I did not apply with or negotiate with Wisconsin.
Right.
But for my Ohio State, Wisconsin was applicable.
Right.
You know, those Minnesota was applicable, those kind of things. Love that, man.
Yes. I've just pulled up my class window for Meaty Reedy, but we got time.
Yeah.
What a guy. He's the best.
Yeah.
We love our students. So I do think that brings up though, like, okay, what sort of things are you actually going to do in that negotiation? Cause everybody listening to the podcast is like, yeah, we fucking get it. Come on.
Yeah.
Like move on.
Yeah.
Which is an accurate feeling. So now next, what are we actually going to talk about in that negotiation? Right. Yes. Our other offers from
other offers, schools. cost of living.
Another thing is to have that right attitude when you're going into the negotiation of, I will go here if you give me the right offer.
Right.
Once you do that.
And I won't go here if you don't.
Exactly. And back that up with like, George Washington University would provide me with this unique thing. And it needs to be a real thing, not just like, I found a buzzword from your website.
Right.
It needs to be this exact, this program is the best thing for me because of this, but I won't go here if I don't get the offer I need.
Right.
Versus, it's a good school. No, they're going to say, if we go ahead and reach into our pockets for this applicant, it'll pay off for us because they have the money,
right?
But they won't bargain the money on you. It's just a discount. Exactly.
It's just a discount.
Exactly. Fake they won't money. Bargain the money on you if they think you're just going to be like, eh, yeah, never mind. So this is also my lesson. You know, I like to tell people I got a full ride at UT and I got waitlisted at Georgetown. Right. And those guys are
neck and neck.
Right. And that's because straight up, I liked UT better. There are a lot of things about just like the personality and the nature of that school, some of the programs they offered. And so from the very beginning, there he is. From the very beginning, I think UT got that strong feeling from me of like, oh yeah, hell yeah. She would definitely go here. She likes us. And in the Georgetown interview with an alum, I straight up told him like, yeah, no, like I'm not intimidated by law school. And I think it's kind of, you know, elitist and stupid when people are.
That's good for Georgetown.
Good for Georgetown. That's how I got waitlisted.
Yeah. I want to second that with the idea of the things that you should bring to it are show that you're serious about the school. Mm-hmm. And you can do that a variety of ways. You can do that by research of saying like, hey, this particular professor who's doing this research in bioethics is something that I want to study under. It's more than just a cursory website.
Right.
It's you're giving them a reason to invest in you, scare quotes, invest. But also another way that you can do that is by showing up on campus.
Yes.
Anecdotally, again, got denied at USC. Mm-hmm. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, never showed up on campus.
Oh.
Not surprised by that.
Right.
Did go to UCL, like set foot on UCL's campus, met with Dean Schwartz, got admitted in a scholarship the next day. And I also had that relationship that with him at that point that I could talk with him and try to negotiate in a meaningful way.
So now that brings up a good question of like, okay, I can't possibly get to this school that I want to visit.
Sure. COVID's a thing. Expenses are a thing. All the things.
You say, I would love to set up a Zoom interview with you.
Absolutely.
Can I please talk? Because Zoom is the new face-to-face. And you can copyright that. You can put it on a t-shirt and say that I said it. Zoom is the new face-to-face. And we all know.
Yep.
I'm certainly not the first person to say that. But
it shows effort. It shows desire.
And then somebody goes, I had a connection with that person. And when I talked to them, they expressed, and you have to be able to emote like, man, WashU, I love that school. You know, in fact, I was off just across the street eating that cafe. What's that cafe? Oh, I was there with my husband. I just love that campus. I think that's so. When they hear you saying those things, they go, oh, wait.
Just connection.
Right. Exactly. This person really will go here. This person really is motivated because they know. And here's your other 509 thing to look at right at the top of your 509, which I don't have any more pulled up, but you can see the number of applications they get, their acceptance rate, and then their attendance rate, you know? So Yale gets like 7 million applications.
And they have like a 4% acceptance rate or some craziness.
But then out of their acceptance rate, their attendance rate is high.
Yeah.
So like 60-70%. You want to go there.
Right.
But then if you notice like, you know, this school doesn't really accept a lot of people. Or if you notice, like we saw with Mizzou, like, wow, they're giving out a lot of full scholarships, that helps you go into negotiating with that school, knowing who you're talking to, because they are different.
Right.
And sometimes we act like law school admissions is this like monolithic thing, but it's really not. So a little due diligence will never hurt.
Yeah. So I think we got to wrap it up there.
So.
We had a lot of emails that we sort of combined into one. So there's a little bit of a longer Demon Daily episode, but for negotiation, the bullet points are competitive school, show desire, it is totally fine to do this via email, mm-hmm. Zoom, okay. Whatever means is acceptable for you to make that kind of situation. And so I want to strongly recommend go out there, and you have to be willing to say no. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to walk away. Mm-hmm. Just like at the car dealership, this is a really expensive piece of paper if you sign on the That's line. Right. Without that scholarship.
And you're getting the same quality. I'm telling you, as two people who go to the University of Maryland, we got the same quality education as if we would have gone somewhere and paid $100,000 for it.
Yeah, or more.
Or more.
Okay, awesome. I want to say thanks so much to FJ and A for writing in, and my co-pilot today, Becca.
Thank you. You're leaving me hanging.
Where's my high five? There we go. Yeah.
That's not COVID friendly. We'll sanitize our hands.
If you'd like to be on the show, send us an email to help@lsatdemon.com. We'd love to hear your LSAT or law school admissions questions. Thanks so much for listening, and
don't pay for law school. Yay.